and minds. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. Well, it's a real pleasure to be here again with you all today. It may not be for you, but it is for me, and to assist in the Sunday worship with Alan. Now, I know what you're all thinking. You're all thinking, who was that stunning-looking guy who's been hanging around the church over the last couple of weeks, looking all swarthy, a little bit mysterious, and not a little Robin Hood? Well, that was Alan. I, however, have been the lurker-in-chief, if you like, who is today finishing his placement as a lay minister, lay reader in this parish under the expert tutelage of said rector. And for those who haven't yet said hello to, my name is John Dean O'Keefe, and I, like Tim over the previous 2 weeks, have been here for the month of May, all the way from my previous life in the Theological Institute via Holy Child. Holy Child, careful, Holy Trinity, Killiney. Wrong school. Indeed, if some of you are at a loose end, now, indeed, I would accept it would need to be a very loose end. You'd be very welcome to come along to my commissioning, along with others, in Christ Church Cathedral on Sunday, 19th of June at 3:30. But on the assumption that you're all going to have a lot more to do with your time and sense, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you all genuinely for your kind welcome to this wonderful church, and I hope I'll see you again here in the future. Quite frankly, I couldn't have asked the Warden of Lay Readers, who some of you will know, John Tanner, for a nicer bunch. And by the way, as I said here on Wednesday, that's coming from a criminologist. So now, if you will join with me, we'll begin our service and make our penitence. Christ died to sin once for all, and now he lives in God. Let us renew our resolve to have done with all that is evil and confess our sins in penitence and faith. So we say together, Father, we have sinned against heaven and against you. We are not worthy to be called your children. We turn to you again. Have mercy on us. Bring us back to yourself as those who once were dead but now have life through Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who repent, have mercy on us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, if you'd like to be seated for the first reading. A reading from the Book of Revelation, chapter 22, beginning at verse 12. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Now, if you would like to sit or stand, as is your preference for the gospel reading. Hear the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ according to John. Chapter 17, beginning at verse 20.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me and loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Now, we have been hearing quite a lot, you'll remember, about the book of Revelation in recent weeks. And today again, it's raised its apocalyptic head in our first reading. In fairness, it is unsurprising that the book of Revelation might leave us all a bit dazed and confused. This book is, after all, a West End production with more than a twist or two along the way. From dragons, Herculean bugs, and flying horses, to broncos with serpents attached as tails, and back to excessively horned beasts, and even a lamb crossed with a lion, you would be forgiven for making yourself a strong cup of tea and having a sit-down after a passage or two of this part of Scripture. But if we can park the small matter of the end of the world for just one moment, the rejoining of heaven and earth, where all tears, of course, will be wiped away, we may be surprised at the somewhat less than Hollywood nature of this much misunderstood part of the Bible. Let us indeed move away from the end time storyboard of the book of Revelation and give it another name. For our purposes today, and with the greatest respect to lawyers all over the country, let's call it the book of evidence. You see, we love evidence, and frankly, we just can't get enough of it when it comes to our faith. The fact that we are told by Jesus that those of us who have not seen and yet believe will be blessed still, however, seems more of a message for those few A-plus students of belief who've pulled away from the rest of the class. For the rest of us, myself I'm talking about here, hovering around more pedestrian grade point averages, our human condition remains that we crave muscular certainties to embed our faith. Truth is, and much as we may not like to admit it, we get the biblical doubting Thomas. And that is okay. Non-belief is, after all, part of the human condition. Now take Jim, for example. Let me introduce you to him. Jim is a drug addict criminal that lives in or around the streets of Phibsborough, and because of my own work, I meet Jim from time to time. He told me recently that he has an oversupply of people craning their necks to get on eye level with him while offering him yet another pre-packed sandwich, asking him, has he a bed to sleep for the night? Where are his family, and what can they really do? Now, most of these well-meaning people, he told me, never practically follow through, however. And if he does see them again, guess what? They just have more sandwiches. Incidentally, we should really think about this from the perspective of a drug-addicted person. Someone expressing pain concern while down on their hunkers and attempting to convince such a person of the unparalleled benefits of, for example, a Nigella panini may have its charms, but quite frankly, that's not the rap that Jim or his friends want. The Department of Social Protection, too, will often promise Jim a range of interventions, from accommodation to social care to multidisciplinary medical engagement. But in his experience, this too rarely happens. You see, Jim needs real evidence, a true revelation of good intention followed through, and yet rarely, if ever, does he get it. Frankly, how is it possible for Jim to believe? Like Jim, some disciples, for example, don't appear to be huge fans of nuance, not least when it comes to what Christian scholars like to call dualism. Like Jim, some disciples, for example, say things like deliver or don't deliver, believe or don't believe, reveal or don't reveal, show me the wounds of the nails of the cross on your hands or don't show me your wounds. Reality is based on what you can see with your very eyes. Everything else is meaningless, or that great word, hebel, which is used in the book of Ecclesiastes, meaning nothingness. For those of us, however, who are determined to source an evidence-based faith, leaving aside the book of Revelation for the moment, John's gospel today also appears to bring us one very important revelation. For example, Christ hasn't just loved us yesterday, today, and one assumes tomorrow, but since before the foundation of the world. Not a bad start, I think you'd agree. Indeed, more generally, John's gospel can arguably present as an evidential roller coaster and is also renowned for its signs, such as, for example, the wedding feast of Cana, among many other signs, it would appear, that might secure our belief in an empirical Jesus. Put it this way, in the competition for best evidence-based gospels, many would argue that John has run away with that particular prize. You see, we just love evidence to reveal itself. For example, how many times have we switched off, not now of course, when someone is talking to us because we believe that the person to be at best fabricating their story or at worst to be telling an untruth? On how many occasions have we refused to believe a person because we hold the opinion that they are not qualified to speak? Truthfully, how often also have we wobbled in our belief, like Thomas the disciple, because the evidence we required of Christ was apparently not laid out in wonderful symmetry before us? Yes, our faith cynicism is curious when you think about it. As a comparison, science and physics cannot tell us, for example, what came before the Big Bang, how long a proton lives, or indeed whether the universe is infinite or, in the manner of Father Ted, just very far away. Yet we never doubt science's ability to get us to foundational truths. Christ does not get as much slack from us. No matter how many times he evidences himself and his truth to us in the Bible and in our everyday lives, we often remain skeptical. We may not necessarily need irrefutable proof, but we do want evidence, or at the very least, evidence light. We are the beyond reasonable doubt generation, and Christ needs to sort this out, and not in the moment, but in the instant, for we are the want it all, have it all kids, and we stop for no man. Or indeed God. Yet slow down we must. Yes, evidence-based theory is everywhere today, and it dictates and permeates how we live, work, and plan our societies. And that is good. As Christ himself might say, it is very good. Yet this is strange, right? Especially when we consider that the disciples had firsthand evidence of Christ's preaching, deeds, miracles, and signs, that ever-important eyewitness testimony, more than we'll ever have. The disciples weren't alone, though. The Bible is full of skeptics who had arguably seen far more than you or I, from Adam and Eve to John the Baptist and Moses to David and Elijah, and that is not even to mention Jesus' own family. Indeed, as has been so succinctly put by one theologian, the Bible is a dump truck full of doubters. You see, for Thomas and his biblical colleagues, denial was not just a river in Egypt, as they might say in some parts of Dublin. Think about that one. Try as we may, biblical personalities refuse to be domesticated. But in the final analysis, Jesus does not wish us to shy away from the revelation or evidence of the Lord's greatness and love for us. Far from it. But he does want us to look in the right place for it. We should never ignore the obvious. And remember, the clearest evidence for Jesus remains in our going down in the evening and our waking in the morning. It is in the uber compassion and love and inexplicable feelings we can show towards our family and friends sometimes. It is in the everyday wonder of creation and nature. When Christ says in today's reading from Revelation that he is our Alpha and our Omega, our first and our last, our beginning and our end, guess what? He meant it. You see, the only evidence we will ever need is love. L-O-V-E. And love is the revelation that Thomas the disciple, Jim in Phibsborough, or you and I will ever need. And the best revelatory news of all, it is right in front of us, hiding in full view, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the only part of the book of evidence we will ever require. Amen. Let us now share our faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. Almighty and ever-living God, in this joyful Easter season, hear the prayers which we now offer in faith and love. And so we now bring our worries, our stresses, our sadness, and our joys to our loving Father through his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the world you have made for us, and we pray for it now and for all your children of every nation. Bless all world leaders with vision and foresight to work for the conservation of our planet and a fair distribution of the Earth's riches and resources. May your will be done, and may they seek progressive ways to end drought, famine, war, and conflict, and promote respect, understanding, generosity, and unity of all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. In our gospel reading today, Jesus tells his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Dear Lord, as we struggle to understand this ongoing tragic conflict in Ukraine, we humbly ask that hearts would be softened, that a lasting ceasefire could begin, that meaningful negotiation and compromise could take place, and that the Ukraine can have peace once more. Please also bless with success the delicate negotiations taking place in Northern Ireland as they seek to form a new power-sharing executive for the good of all its people. May Jesus, the true Prince of Peace, bring healing to all places of conflict in our world. Lord, in your mercy. We pray especially for and with the souls of the 19 children and two adult teachers whose lives were so shockingly taken in the Robb Elementary School shooting in Texas last Tuesday. The children who died were all in second, third, and fourth grade. Three of those who lost their lives were 11 years of age. 13 were 10 years of age. Three were 9 years of age. Media reports suggest that two of their teachers, whom also died, Ava Morelles and Irma Garcia, lost their lives trying to save those of their children. Joe Garcia, the husband of the second of these teachers, died of a heart attack 2 days following the killing of his wife. Lord, we cannot pretend to comprehend such a wanton act against such innocent lives and the utter destruction that ensued. Help their families, friends, and communities come to some sort of understanding and peace in the days, months, and years ahead, secure in the knowledge that your love for these children, their teachers, and their families will never die. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your church in all the world, for understanding and cooperation between those of different faiths, and for the unity of Christian people everywhere. We ask for your blessing on our Bishop Michael, your rector Alan, lay reader Bert, and all Alan's pastoral team as they diligently sow the seed of your word among all the faithful who come here. Please bless your select vestry, those involved behind the scenes, and all those who attend services or who join otherwise, and on those who may be considering joining this church family in the future. Lord, in your mercy, we remember all our young people who have completed college exams or are preparing for the junior certificate, leaving certificate, or other examinations. Bless them with the calmness to know that you are always there to support them. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you know that at different times, all of us struggle in mind, body, or spirit. In a few moments of silence, we now bring you our private prayers, asking for your love and care at this time. May your peace be with those who are anxious. May your comfort be with those who are grieving. And today we remember especially John's golfing buddy who passed suddenly. May your healing be upon those who are unwell. May your hope fill those who are fearful. May your compassion prompt us to love our neighbors and all those fleeing from war and oppression. Lord, in your mercy, we say together, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. The peace of the risen Lord be always with you. And so, in an impressively non-invasive way, let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Please be seated. Thank you, John, for your words, for the evidence that we have for all of the love of God through his Son Jesus, and how we are here today, reminded and comforted by Holy Spirit in where we are at. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. And as our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. I'm going to invite Avril and George, who will bring around our communion. And so the body of Christ, given for you. And the blood of Christ, shed for you. Eternal giver of love and power, your Son Jesus Christ has sent us into all the world to preach the gospel of his kingdom. Confirm us in this mission and help us to live the good news we proclaim. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. As you receive this blessing, take this for your hearts and your minds, and bring and be this blessing to those around you. So may you know of the evidence of love from God the Father in all the experiences of the Son, in loving, showing compassion, and having mercy. May you be filled with Holy Spirit, reminded of your place in God's family, to love well, to forgive well, as you have been loved, as you have been forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.